Because God is God and God doesn't change, whether you change or don't change, God doesn't change. And so God continues to be good even though you're not good. Why? Because it's for the praise of His glory, and His glory is unchanging.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark and I would love to extend an invitation to you. If you do not have a church home, maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today, come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you'd want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us, or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Indeed. Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us. Pastor Mark continues on in his new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. And today is a program called What You Know Changes You. Our text will be found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's join Pastor Mark for a Straight Talk on What You Know Changes You.
His name was Victor, but he felt like a loser. He didn't do very well in school. In fact, when he was about 16 years old, he was doing so poorly in school that his teacher told him, it's better if you drop out and just get a job. And so he did. The problem was that Victor did not do much better in school, at work. He got one job and lost it. Got another job and lost it, and another, and seemed to be doing very poorly at the jobs that he secured. By the time he was 32 years old, he had had 76 jobs and hadn't done very well at any of the jobs that he had had. But something happened when Victor applied to his 77th job. You see, part of the requirement of getting this job was that they would have every applicant do a battery of tests. One of the tests that they had was the IQ test. A good normal IQ would be right about 100. Victor tested at 161 IQ. Those that were testing him said, Victor, you're off the chart. You fall into the category of what people know as a genius. The very fact that someone recognized that Victor was a genius, that he had a high IQ level, changed the way Victor saw himself, altered the way he viewed himself. That was a turning point. Victor Seryanko went on to become famous for his research in laser surgery and to become the president of Mensa, an organization for geniuses, all because a test said that he was special. I run into so many Christians that live their lives like Victor. They don't do too well in this, and they don't do too well at that. They seem to fail a lot in their Christianity, stumble, fall, get up, stumble again, discouraged in life, not very good at their marriage, not very good at raising kids, not very good at consistency, not very effective at much of what they do in life, in part because they've never realized who they really, really are. Today, as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, I hope to help you understand, like Victor understood, who he really is. Oh, here's what I'm convinced. I am convinced that 95% of us probably in this auditorium are living way below our potential in God. Way below. Oh, I think that some of you see yourselves one way and God sees you in another way. I think so many of you struggle along in life when you have not realized who you really are in God. And the moment that you begin to realize what you have, the moment that you begin to realize who you are, I believe can be a turning point in the destiny of your life. So today as we jump into Ephesians chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 11. And then I want to help you understand a prayer that hopefully this prayer will be a prayer that you pray regularly for yourself and for others, because this prayer can literally begin to change your perception of who you are in God. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in Him we were also chosen. Well, I love that. We talked about it last week. You did not find God. Hello, God found you. You were chosen. Some of you have had that terrible experience. You hated recess because if you weren't very athletic, maybe you were part of those kids that when people picked teams, you were always the last one standing. I'll take him and him and him, and there you are. You and the other person always last one standing. There's something sort of degrading about being the last of the litter to pick. And then some people just, all right, they're the ones left over. You might as well bring them on our team. God says, before the foundation of the world, He knew you. He understood you. He knew your personality, what you would look like, what your name would be like. He knew the hairs that you would have on your head, or the lack of hairs that you would have on your head. I mean, He knew everything about you, and yet God chose you before the foundation of the world. Oh, you say, well, He must have not known me, or He wouldn't have chosen me. No, 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 He knew you. Oh, He knew your weaknesses. He knew what you would struggle with, but yet, even knowing all that, God said, I choose this person. He chose you, it says, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of His will. He chose you because God had a purpose and a plan for you. And He made sure that when He chose you, He would fulfill the purpose and the plan that He had for you according to the good pleasure of His will. And He chose you in order that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Now you'll see this phrase several times in Ephesians, to the praise of His glory. I love that phrase. What God does, the decisions that God makes, the plans that God lays out are for the praise of His glory. In other words, He does it so that His glory can be manifest. What is glory? Glory is the essence of His radiance. It is the full manifestation of His brilliance. He chose you because He knew that as He worked in your life, that when people saw you and saw what they did in your life, He chose you so that you would be to the praise of His glory. That's part of the reason He did it. He knew that He would work in your life and that one day you would reflect His glory. And as people saw you, they would also see the glory of God and they would praise God for what He's done and how He's worked in your life. He chose you for the praise of His glory. Listen, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. So He chose you before you chose Him. But He chose you with the foreknowledge that one day you would hear the gospel and you would respond to the gospel. God knew that you would believe before you even believed. Oh, let me say that again. God knew that you would repent and believe even when you were hard against God. When some of you were lifting your fist at God and making God jokes, when some of you were saying, you're not going to get me in that place, even if they have to drag me, I'm not going to come. When some of you were using the Lord's name in vain and cussing him, and the only time you said Jesus was to use him as an expletive. Listen, when all that was happening, God already knew that a point in time in your life would come where you would bow your knee and break and weep and cry and say, I need you. I'm tired of running. I bow my knee and I receive you as Lord and Savior. He chose you. But when God chose you, he knew that the day would come that you would choose him. He chose you, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Oh, you were already chosen, but when you heard the word of truth and believed, then you were included in Christ. Listen, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then when you believed, listen what happened. When you believed, you were marked. Marked how? Oh, you were marked in a way that is irrevocable. The problem with tattoos is that tattoos are hard to erase. How about it? And I know when you were 16 and you really loved that girl and you thought, man, my heart for her will never change. And I'm super in love with her. And you had her name tattooed on your shoulder. You thought it would never change. 6 months later, she had nothing to do with you. And you still have Susie tattooed on your shoulder. You see, the problem with tattoos is they don't change, but we change. They're a mark that's really hard to erase. I was discipling a guy once, and he had a big tattoo on his leg, right here, all the way up his leg, of a naked woman. And he, when it was summertime, and I came to decide, he was always kind of embarrassed of this big naked woman on his leg. So he told me, Pastor, I've been thinking about this, praying about this. I'm thinking about, like, putting clothes on this woman. All right, well, whatever you need to do, bro, But that's the problem with tattoos. I'm sure when he got that naked woman on his leg, he thought it was really cool. And after he came to Christ and he changed, so you see that tattoo doesn't change. What Paul is saying is that the moment that you came to Christ, you were marked. You were tattooed, so to speak, in the spiritual realm.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, What You Know Changes You. It's from our series called, When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you get a free copy of this message, as well as information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. His message, What You Know Changes You.
It will never change. You can't erase it. You can't take it away. It's something that marks you. And how were you marked, you may ask? He says, having believed, you were marked in him, in Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You see, in the old days, people used to write letters. In the days of Paul, in order to make sure that a message was authenticated, that this really belonged to someone, what they would do is they would seal the scroll or the letter. The way they would do that, you may have seen it in movies, they would take wax and they would put wax, candle wax, right on the place where the letter, where the pages came together in a letter, and they would put that wax there, and then they would take a ringlet or an emblem, and they would put the impression in the wax. When you received the letter, you would look at the wax and the emblem that is impressed on the wax, and you would know that that letter was the real thing. That letter came from the person who claimed that they sent it. It was to authenticate the letter. What Paul is saying is that you and I, We have been branded by a seal, an authentication seal, a seal that says, this person is for real. They truly belong to me. They're not a fake. They don't just come and go. They don't just attend. They don't just look religious, but they are truly a follower of mine. They belong to me. They are mine. And what is that seal? It's the promised Holy Spirit. Oh, this is good. You need to hear this. Oh, it's going to encourage your heart. You see, the moment that you believe, oh, I know there's some confusion about this in some people's mind. Some of you, and I've run into people that will find out that I'm a Christian and they'll say, oh, you're a believer. Oh, great. Praise God, you're a believer. But have you received the Holy Spirit? Oh, listen to me. I understand where they're coming from and I understand what they're trying to say, but I want you to understand something very clearly. You cannot be a believer follower of Jesus without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing. Listen, there is no such thing as being a Christian without having the Holy Spirit. What makes you a believer, what changes you around and causes you to be possessed by God, so to speak, is that the moment that you believe and repent and open up your heart through faith, the Holy Spirit immediately comes inside of you. And the Holy Spirit of God, who's the third person, the triune God, comes and dwells in your being. And now it is the seal of God. It is God's way of saying, this person belongs to me. So wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Whatever you do, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Listen, even if you backslide, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. He's still there. You say, well, I'm a little backslidden. I'm tired of that. Those church people, those rules. I'm just going to go have some fun. Forget about this. You know that old bar we used to go to? I'm going to go to that old bar. Listen to those old jams. Going to hook up with that old girlfriend in that old dark corner and get that old blast that I used to get. So you go there to that corner, to that place, to that dark corner. You hook up with that old girlfriend, and guess what? As you walk into that bar, in that seedy bar, and go to that dark corner, guess what? You think you left the Holy Spirit out? No, the Holy Spirit's right inside of you. There I am. In that old bar, in that dark corner, talking to the old girlfriend, the Holy Spirit is right inside of you. You don't check the Holy Spirit out at the door. You don't leave him at church. You can't walk away from God, because once you are sealed, you are sealed. Sealed. And I can guarantee you something. If the Holy Spirit is truly inside of you, you're going to discover something. The Holy Spirit is a party pooper. You're not going to have as much fun as you used to have. You're not going to enjoy it as you used to enjoy it. You're not going to feel the blast like you used to feel it, because you're going to have something inside of you saying, that's not you. How come you act in that way? That's not you. That's not who you are. That's not where you belong. That's not really you. This is not me. This is not who you are. This is the old you, not the new you. This is, you'll have a struggle inside of you, because the Holy Spirit, wherever you go, is going with you, challenging you to live according to God's way, and reminding you, you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. So, you have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. There it goes again, to the praise of God's glory. So first of all, it calls the Holy Spirit a seal. Secondly, it calls the Holy Spirit a deposit. Now, if you go out to buy a house, if you go out to buy a condo, if you go out to buy a car, one of the very first things that normally they do is saying, okay, you want this house, that's great. When you sign a contract, you need to put what down? A deposit. Because what does the deposit say? I'm serious. And so they want you to put a deposit between 10 to 20% down usually. So if you're looking at something that's $200,000, 10% is $20,000, 20% is $40,000. And they figure most people are not going to walk away from $20,000 or $40,000. It means you're serious and it means there's more to come. Oh. You see, the deposit is there guaranteeing that this is just the first fruits of more to come. But there'll be years of payments. Oh, maybe it's just 20,000 or 40,000, but you have committed to the whole thing. There's more to come. Listen, God says that the Holy Spirit has been given to you as a deposit. Listen, look at it. It's in your Bible. Look. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing what? Our inheritance. It's the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And you know how good the Holy Spirit is? You know how much the Holy Spirit has to offer you? He gives you conviction. He baptizes in you in love. He empowers you. He gives you mercy. He guides you. There's a lot of that. But listen, it's just a foretaste telling you there's a lot more where this came from. Listen, this is just the beginning. The Holy Spirit changes you and begins to transform you. But God is saying, listen, as much as the Holy Spirit is transforming you, this is just a little taste of the main transformation that's going to happen in your life. This is a taste of glory. There's more on its way. I guarantee it. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. When God gave you the Holy Spirit, He sealed you and He said, this person belongs to me. How do I know it belongs to you? Because I sealed them. With what? I sealed them with my Holy Spirit. They are my possession. Oh, I know sometimes they don't look like they're mine. Oh, I know sometimes they don't act like they're mine. Oh, I know sometimes they don't talk like they're mine, but I want to guarantee you they are mine. I have bought them with the price of my only begotten Son, and I've put the Holy Spirit inside of them because I'm hanging on to them, and I'm guaranteeing that what I started, I will finish until the very end. I'm not going to stop working in their life. I'm going to keep working in their life. Why? Because they are mine. They have been bought with a price, the price of the only begotten Son of God. That's why I love the Holy Spirit. He says, until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of God's glory. You see, what all that God is doing in your life is to the praise of His glory. Now, some of you think about that and you think, well, is God selfish? No, God cannot be selfish. Listen, I want you to hear me well. The reason that God does this is for the praise of His glory. And not just for you. You change. And if what God did, He did for you only, then when you were unworthy, He would take it away. But God does what He does because He is God. And He does it out of His character. And because God is God and God doesn't change, whether you change or don't change, God doesn't change. And so God continues to be good even though you're not good. Why? Because it's for the praise of His glory, and His glory is unchanging. He continues to be merciful even when the world doesn't deserve mercy. Why? Because it revolves around His character. His character does not change. And so it all revolves around His purpose. It emanates from His character. It's for the praise, the manifestation of His glory. And what all that God does is to reveal His glory and His power to ourselves.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago, with his message entitled, What You Know Changes You. It's from his series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Join us on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.